Hello, everybody. I'd like to call this public meeting to order of the Oregon Board of Forestry. I want to point out that also, as our new practice, this meeting will be live streamed. So the first item of business is a roll call. Nils Christofferson.
Here.
Cindy Deacon-Williams.
Here.
Mike Rose.
Here.
And I'm Tom Imeson. So we have four. We have a quorum. I want to note that pursuant to ORS 192.660.2H, the board was scheduled to meet in closed executive session starting at 4:30 p.m., and that session has been canceled. There's no new legal business with legal counsel required at this time. In order to ensure that the board has the opportunity to conduct all of the business on the agenda for its meetings, public comment for agenda topics will be limited to no more than 30 minutes. A sign-up sheet is available for public comment on a first-come, first-served basis. As always, submission of written comments ahead of board meetings is encouraged. We'll now start with consent agenda. Is there a motion for approval of items A through D?
So moved.
Any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. And we'll now move to State Forester Peter Doherty and his comments.
Good morning. It's been 6 weeks since our last board meeting, and I've spent most of 6 weeks focused on fire. 2 days after the July meeting, we hosted a governor's tour of the Gardner complex, and things have just begun to slow down. And by slowing down, I mean we only had 27 new fires over Labor Day and 8 large fires on the landscape, only 3 of which required our attention. Almost everything else aside, fire has been put on hold or delay except for a few topics, key topics, including preparation for this meeting. And I also participated in the Coastal Economic Summit. The September Board of Forestry meeting is traditionally an opportunity for the board to hear how we're doing. It's a time we reserve for assessment of Oregon's forest and the department's work prior to the board's October planning retreat. So we'll hear stuff from our key performance measures to our monitoring program and forest health reports, as well as a state forest assessment. We're also highlighting an assessment of an emerging issues topic, which is land use planning. Mid-August and early September is also a time when fire season peaks. Doug Graff and Russ Lane will give a detailed fire report as our first topic, but I want to take a few minutes to highlight some of the key themes of this fire season. As noted in July, this fire season started earlier, and we are facing a higher than average fire severity. We had our first incident management team deployment on June 22nd, and the season has continued to be challenging for our staff. To date, we've had 7 team deployments. Last week, I was down in Southern Oregon with Team 2's closeout on the Ramsey Fire. Team 2 has been deployed 4 times this season for a total of 41 out of 71 days. In addition to these team deployments, we've helped staff fires on other jurisdictions through the fire season, and our districts have done an incredible job of catching fires early in initial attack and holding on to fires in extended attack. Behind the scenes of all this work is an incredible support team at the district, area, and statewide level that often goes unnoticed. And for those fires that get away, such as Ramsey, our teams have been able to transition quickly with the districts and develop a plan of attack that minimizes acres burn. Ramsey was a great catch at under 2,000 acres, like the Graham Lobster and South Valley fires, which were other team deployments. They were all deployments that lasted less than 14 days. We get in, we put the fire out, and we leave. Successes like the Ramsey result from a team effort that underlies our complete and coordinated protection system in Oregon. I want to acknowledge and thank all of our partners, especially the landowner, operators, and contractors who have been critical to our success. This year, we also owe a lot of thanks to the state fire marshals, National Guard, our state partners, especially Florida and North Carolina, and our other agency partners, the U.S. Forest Service and Bureau of Land Management. As successful as we have been, we are in the midst of another severe fire season with close to 700,000 acres burned on ODF protection, over $90 million in gross cost, and $40 million in net cost. Across all jurisdictions, costs have exceeded, in Oregon, costs have exceeded $400 million and over 740,000 acres have been burned. We are once again challenged to meet our full mission of serving Oregonians by protecting, managing, and promoting stewardships of our forest. Not only have we been challenged to meet our non-fire part of our mission, we've been challenged to meet our fire mission. This year, we faced several gaps where we did not have an ODF team available. And one of our seven deployments was actually a Florida team to take over the Garner complex so we could free up key ODF incident management team command and general staff to go into unified command with an interagency team on the South Umpqua complex to protect private lands at risk of burning. When we deployed any of our three rostered IMTs, we had to borrow from the other teams to fill them out and provide the support functions to ensure their success. When we've had to deploy a second team, we've struggled to roster the full support we are used to providing, and by then we no longer have a third team to deploy. As was the case last year, we were challenged to find sufficient mid-level management, such as division soups, task force leaders, crew bosses, and heavy equipment operators. Or heavy equipment leaders. Put simply, we do not have the people we had a decade ago, and this means we do not have the resources to be sustainable in this type of fire season. Our agency strategic initiative is needed to address this lack of capacity, which is challenging us this year. As I mentioned, I was invited to serve at the Coastal Caucus Economic Summit to discuss Oregon's forest, what we're currently doing to sequester carbon, and opportunities to mitigate impacts from climate change. I am going to highlight my opening comments at that summit, given that this is one of the board's emerging issues. I started with the good news that we heard from the Oregon Global Warming Commission recent report that you heard at the June meeting. All of Oregon's forests under current state and federal policies are net carbon sinks. Oregon's forests sequester half of our statewide carbon emissions. And then in conjunction with the Office of Carbon Policy, the Oregon Department of Forestry is working with the U.S. Forest Service to expand this initial work. We're modeling this analysis based on similar work in California and will present to the board probably early in January. I also highlighted the success of our land use system, which you'll hear about more later today. Because of this system, Oregon does not face the same threat of land conversion as many other states. Relative to 1974, Oregon has maintained 98% of its wildland forests. Forest industry and non-federal public forests have remained virtually unchanged. Most of the conversion has occurred in non-industrial or family forest lands. I also highlighted the board's role, noting that the legislature has stated that the policy objective for private forest land is to maintain the continuous growing and harvesting of trees, and to this end has vested all matters of forest policy with the Board of Forestry. I mentioned the board's goal to maintain working forests, protect resources, and to favor voluntary approaches when possible. The combination of Oregon's statewide land use laws, Forest Practice Act, and voluntary measures such as the Oregon Plan for Salmon and Watershed are currently very effective at keeping Oregon's forest as forest. I did discuss opportunities to mitigate the impacts of climate change on Oregon's forests to maintain their ability to function as carbon sinks. I mentioned that most of these opportunities will require an investment of state resources, and that incentives could also encourage voluntary actions to increase carbon sequestration and maintain working forests. I highlighted three opportunities. The first is that forest land owners in Oregon have diverse management objectives. Forest industry focuses on sustainable wood production and have maintained their working forests. I suggest that we need to be thoughtful about changes that could affect those lands. and mentioned that incentives, including carbon mitigation, could help maintain family forest lands. Second, I mentioned that future wildfire models are clear. Oregon will experience a greater number and more intense wildfires and increased emissions and lost sequestration. We need to do more fuel reduction treatments, particularly around communities, the wildland-urban interface, and borders of our working forests. And another means to reduce wildfires is to reduce human-caused starts, and I suggested we could invest more in wildfire prevention. Finally, I highlighted that Oregon's urban forests are often overlooked in their terms of their role in climate mitigation. They not only sequester carbon, but they can also lower energy consumption for cooling and heating. I mentioned that there's a correlation between urban forest canopy and human health, and that we have underinvested in our urban forests, particularly in low-income and rural communities. Investments in urban forestry could simultaneously increase our ability to sequester more carbon and mitigate the impacts of climate change on underserved communities. So those were my opening comments, and I just thought I'd keep you informed. Are there any questions on those two topics? Great. Well, I'd like to move into something that I really enjoy, which is recognition of 40 years of public service in the department. And so it is a real opportunity, and we have the opportunity to honor the dedicated service and contribution of a particular employee. And when you get to 40 years, you can receive your award either at your local district, at a leadership team meeting, or at the Board of Forestry. And one of our employees, David Wells, elected to, David and Joe, would you come on up? Elected to have his 40 years of service recognized here. We're very appreciative and privileged to celebrate this. Go ahead, on up to the, or no, oh, just, yeah, here, I think, right? Oh, at the podium. Oh, I'm sorry. Usually I'm pretty good at following directions. David spent his entire career working on the steep slopes of the Tillamook District and has taught many foresters over the years the finer points of sale layout and administration. Dave is known for his great sense of humor and someone who always follows the department's working guidelines. Dave also enjoys personally crafting ukulele songs and playing them as a send-off for many retiring foresters. To present this award, I'd like to introduce Joe Travers, who started in the department's Tillamook District 20 years ago with Dave and timber sale layout and administration. Joe has worked for 7 years as a reforestation unit forester, and his role includes being Dave's supervisor for the last 6 years in the timber sales contract. So, Joe.
Thank you, Peter. Good morning, everyone. This is a great day to be here and recognize Dave for his 40-plus years of service with the Oregon Department of Forestry. Dave was raised in the Seattle area. He received a Bachelor's of Science degree from the University of Washington in 1978. And within 38 hours of graduating on June 12th, he began working with ODF in the Tillamook District as a full-time forest technician. As the Tillamook State Forest grew, so did Dave. His first job was cruising timber and burning slash and setting up thinnings that have become our big trees of today. Next was cedar salvage and working with early helicopter logging, then on to the engineering unit, continuing to work with the first surveyors. To the north unit, to work with long span cable systems and the first shovel loggers, to his current position with timber contracts, to plan, post, cruise, and administer timber sales again. Throughout his career, Davis participated in the department's firefighting efforts and has served in various line positions up to division supervisor. In 1987, he took the position of public information officer, and in 1998 was selected to be the incident information resource leader for Fire Team 1 and retired from the team in 2008. Dave is still qualified as a PIO and remains available to fill in when the big fires break. Dave is always ready to volunteer to take the department's message about forest management to the community. Many of the people that work with Dave know he's a very good storyteller. While I was driving to work one morning, turned on NPR News, only to hear Dave playing his ukulele and singing Smokey the Bear to the Oregon legislators to get his message across about reinstating stewardship foresters. He has volunteered on numerous occasions getting the forestry story out to school children on field trips and at outdoor school. He's been a co-representative for ODF on the Lower Nehalem Watershed Council and is the current chair of the Tillamook Watershed Council. Dave represents ODF as a forest interpreter, represented ODF as a forest interpreter on the currently historic train ride up the Salmonberry River. He's an active Society of American Foresters member, having held various officer positions in the Tillamook Clatsop chapter. And in 2017, Dave was inducted as a fellow for the Society of American Foresters. He's been our union shop steward for over 25 years and has served two terms as the forestry local union president. For those of you who've worked with Dave, you know that his integrity, his honesty, strong work ethic, shared leadership, and attention to safety are second to none. He adheres to the working guidelines, especially the last one, have fun. His sense of humor, laughter, and farewell songs on his ukulele to employees that have promoted or retired are one of the many things that make Tillamook a great place to work. One thing that impresses me about Dave is the excitement he still has for his job in forestry. We all know how challenging it can be on our district, but he gives it his all and then some. When looking at sales one day with Dave, he would mention to me, "I lost 10 pounds on that sale," or "I only lost 5 pounds on that one." His impact on our forest is immense. The numbers of people he has influenced with his messaging about forest management and fire prevention. He's trained and motivated many foresters throughout his career, myself included. The millions of board feet and thousands of acres that Dave has worked on. I wasn't able to summarize easily how many acres or board feet Dave has put together, but that number would be huge. His impact will last for many years after he retires, and I know Dave plans to stay active in forestry after his retirement from ODF. His hard work and his attitude are greatly appreciated by everyone in Tillamook District and ODF statewide. So thank you, Dave, for your dedication for the last 40 years. This is a certificate for Dave, signed by Peter and Tom Imerson for his 40 years of service.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
So maybe just have a few words to say. I wasn't expecting a standing ovation. That's pretty amazing. But I just wanted to thank you, Peter, for that words, and thank you, Joe, for your words there, too. In the audience today, I also want to thank my mother. She's sitting on the corner there. Raise your hand. Yes. My mother, Elaine, my wife, Jan, and my sister, Lisa. You know, it was 40 years ago, in June 1978, that I started, I think, as Joe said, 38 hours after graduating from the University of Washington. And that was just 5 years after Governor McCall stood on the Wilson River proclaiming that the Tillamook Burn was now the Tillamook State Forest. What a forest to inherit there. And with that, you know, as Joe said, continued the salvage. We harvested around the edges of that burn while the sea of green grew. And when it was time to get into the sea of green, we did that with thinning programs. That was just sort of amazing. We were all learning how to thin. We were teaching our operators how to thin, and we were teaching ourselves how to administer that work out there. It was pretty impressive. And then our forest management plans, working through the beginnings of that and all through them, and I think we continue that today. You know, it's been 40 years. You know, I was trying to think of three words to summarize: learning, adapting, and growing. You know, I learned as an employee, I've learned from everybody I've ever worked with. And that is pretty nice to have 40 years of people to work with and learn from. And I learned from the original foresters, when they were still there, when I in the sense of the Tillamook State Forest, learning that they had to overcome questions and problems and how to solve these things, that there was a problems, but there were solutions too. And that was what I think was one of the important things that I learned from those original foresters who I started with. And hopefully I'm sharing that with the new foresters that will be preceding me, that is learning, adapting, and growing. The Department of Forestry can solve problems, and we can solve problems in a great way. And so I couldn't think of a much better place to work with the Oregon Department of Forestry, and especially the Tillamook District. And, you know, one of the last moment comment here is I'd like to thank my wife for reminding me when I sometimes think about other jobs within the Department of Forestry. My feet have been on the ground for those 40 years out there, driving pickup trucks and walking through that forest. And she reminded me of what I really love, and that is to walk in the woods.
We've also gotten a plaque which has the traditional badge, and it says, appreciation for 40 years of service with the Oregon Department of Forestry.
Thank
Congratulations.
You, Peter.